whatever I prepared, I lean on you. I do not lean on my own understanding. I just trust the Lord, as you have said, there's a spirit in man. It is your inspiration that gives understanding. I'm asking, Lord, just breathe upon me afresh. Breathe upon me. Holy Spirit, I acknowledge your presence upon, within, and through me. Flow through me. Flow to every heart online, every heart in this physical space, and those who will listen to this ever living, ever transforming word of God that you will speak to me and through me. I pray, Lord, in the simplicity of your word, let this message be delivered in a way that even the youngest child in this room or watching will be able to understand, to communicate your heart, your spirit to everyone. And Lord, upon every heart, I pray, let every heart be transformed into a good ground, ready to receive your word. And let your word, like a seed, let it drop on that heart, let it take root, let it germinate and bring forth. And let everything you tell us today, may we never forget, in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Thank you, everybody, for those just coming into the physical space for the first time. Behold, God has made everything new. So it's not the physical space we were used to before the pandemic. We believe God pressed a reset button, and God is resetting his church so that his church can be what he created his church for. You know, Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. So let's allow him build his church, which is you, which is me. Let's just allow him do what he wants to do. Let's stop trying to build his church, and let's stop trying to rebuild what God has destroyed. So I welcome us to this space and this realm, and I bring a word to us today. And if you want to give this a title, please, you can write or you can text, and please participate, comment. And the word is rebuilding my altar of thanksgiving. Rebuilding my altar of thanksgiving. All through the month of July, if you remember, we were talking about my heart, my altar, my new earth. But our focus throughout July was altar, altar, altar. If you want to get a hang of that, please just backtrack. All the messages are online. They are on YouTube, Love Assembly Liverpool. Just Google, type Facebook, and on YouTube, you'll see all the messages. Altar, 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 altar. My heart, my heart, my heart. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. There is a principle in Matthew chapter 5 that I never saw this way. And please let me sound a little bit of caution to us. The world is opening flights, countries, nations. You can travel now. You can get a double jab. You can stop masking. You can stop social distancing. That's, you know, it seems like that's the way people are translating things. But listen, the pandemic, the coronavirus, is still out there. We saw the parallel from the days of Noah. In the days of Noah, before the flood came and, you know, killed everybody except 8 souls and the animals that were preserved, of course, God saw that the heart of man was wicked. And God repented, the Bible says, in his heart. Why did I create man? And I will destroy man, but I will preserve the man who walked with me. A man that I found grace in my sight, which is a man called Noah. And we saw, when you read Genesis 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and you know, from there, the flood came, the earth was destroyed, but then they stepped out of the ark. Guess what? The devil that was wreaking havoc before the flood did not flood the devil away. The devil, they still had the devil to contend with after they stepped out of that ark and they started rebuilding the earth. There were principalities they needed to, they still had to contend with. But going really, really deeper, the heart of man was still the same. Sadly, Noah, who walked with God, see, I will never stop marveling at this. Noah, who walked with God, who found favor with God, and God preserved him and his family before the flood, before the global pandemic of that time, which we can see a parallel now, that same Noah comes out of the ark, and we see that Noah cursing, we see that Noah getting drunk, we see that Noah building an altar once and never builds an altar again. We see the curse. You only need to read the Bible, people. We see the curse that Noah even places on his grandson, a grandson called Ham. Sorry, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, Canaan. You need to follow and trace the lineage of that Canaan. The curse was still working. Listen, let me say this to parents. God has given you his inheritance called a child or children. The Bible says children are the heritage of the Lord. Basically, God has given you that child or those children. You are just mere caretakers. God wants you to look after them. God wants you to nurture them. God wants you to train them in the way they should grow so that when they are old, they will not depart. God wants you to bless them, not to curse them. If you curse your child, listen, heaven recognizes that curse. I'm telling you as a parent, you have a parental authority, you curse a child, heaven will not argue with you. It will be executed. Go and check the Bible. A father, an Abraham, Jacob, that becomes Israel, blesses his sons and curses some, whatever you pronounce on them. We don't know the power of our tongue. The Bible says death and life, then the power of the tongue. Those who love it are those who will eat the fruit thereof. Please watch what you say to your children. And I'm saying this by the Spirit of God, and I say this by the authority given to me, Lord, with spiritual oversight over you. Whatever curse anyone has placed over you, maybe by your late father or your late parent, in the name of Jesus, I reverse that curse.
Amen.
I reverse it. I say in the name of Jesus, you are blessed.
Amen.
I say you will be fruitful.
Amen.
You will multiply.
Amen.
According to the word of the Lord, you will replenish. You will subdue, you will take dominion.
Amen.
But please, the Bible says the curse, curseless, shall not come. So a curse comes because there's a curse behind it. So please don't curse people to curse you, especially those who have authority over you. So, but that's not our focus. I'm just moving by the Spirit of God. Matthew chapter 5 verse 23, rebuilding my altar of thanksgiving. What is in Matthew chapter 5, verse 23? I see a principle there, and glory be to God, and thank you, Holy Spirit, for opening our understanding to see this. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 23, the Bible declares there, do you know what the Bible declares? It says there, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and then you remember that your brother has something against you. Listen, there's an altar. You bring the gift to the altar. And you know, we've looked at altars, altar unto the Lord, okay? The gift we bring to the altar of the Lord, like we learned, prayers, praises, thanksgiving. Those are the sacrifices we bring to the altar. God is saying anytime you bring any of these sacrifices, this is Jesus verbatim, Jesus unedited. Anytime you bring prayers, praises, thanksgiving to the altar you want to offer to God, and then you remember, listen, you remember that your brother has something against you. What did Jesus say we should do? Let's read on. Matthew chapter 5 verse 23 says, You should do what in verse 24? Leave your gift before there, before the altar. Go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Listen, this is scary. It means that when I come, I've built the altar, I've done everything that I should do, and I'm offering my sacrifice to God. But then, there's an issue, there's strife between me and my brother, lest the sisters in the house or sisters listening say, yeah, it says brother. I can always deal with sister. So it didn't say sister. So I continue my aggros with the sister. No. No. Brother there, because the way the Bible was written, was always written in a masculine tense in the time it was written. So brother there means sister. It means uncle. It means auntie. It means mother-in-law. It means father-in-law. It means all your in-laws and all your outlaws and every law. Everybody. So this is what Jesus is saying. You want to offer your sacrifice? But there's an issue, you're in strife. Or someone is in strife with you. You know, the funny thing here, it says, you remember your brother has something against you. Excuse me, why does your brother have something against you? That means you've done something to them and they are having an issue with you. All right, leave your gift. Do you know what this is saying? God is saying that this is shocking. Listen, this is very shocking. It means that if I don't resolve issues, strife with anyone who has something against me or have something against my prayers, my praises, my thanksgiving, will not be recognized. Please let that sink. I've got a good gift I want to give. I've got my sacrifice of praise. I've got my sacrifice of thanksgiving. I want to pray about that issue. Jesus, the name of Jesus, I bind this, I bind that, in the name of, I take authority. I've got an issue with somebody else. Somebody has got an issue with me. Let me tell you, let's balance things. Someone has got an issue with me and I come to you to reconcile. I say, no. I'm not forgiving you. That's their problem. That's no longer your problem. That's no longer your problem. You've tried to reconcile and they don't want to reconcile with you. That's their problem. But you made the attempt to reconcile. That's a different issue. But the other issue is now, there's an issue, you don't want reconciliation, and you want to carry on in your strife, and you are wondering why God is not answering your prayers. Therein lies the answer. You're wondering why God is not accepting, you know, your sacrifice. You know, I'm telling you, by the Spirit of God, by the grace given to us, with spiritual oversight over human beings, there are times we're counseling, we're praying with people, and the issue is not the issue they have brought before you. The issue is deeper than that. The issue has got to do with unforgiveness. The issue has got to do with strife. You're only seeing the fruit of a root. So you are trying to deal with the fruit, but there's a root. The root, strife. The Bible says where envy and strife is, there is confusion. And every evil work. Every evil work you can think of. James chapter 3 verse 16. Where there is confusion, where there is envy, where there is strife, God is not the author. So my sacrifice will not be acceptable on the altar I built unto the Lord because I have God issues with people. This is very scary. And when I think about this, I tell myself, I cannot afford to be in strife with people. Listen, I'm talking as a human being. There are people, my goodness, who have shish kebabbed me, who have stabbed me, who have literally. My wife is my witness. At times we just talk at times and I'm venting, you know, and my wife is usually the one I vent to, and then I realize that it's not even good to vent to my wife. Because when I vent to her, I hurt her more. So I vent to myself and I take the vent inside and I implode inside and I'm hurting myself and I'm thinking, you, look at your body. See what that baby did to me. You said this about me. It's not funny. It's not funny. Why are you laughing at me? You're still laughing. I've got issues with you now. Some of us will even have issues with children. No, you're my friend. Laugh. Okay, laugh all you want. I'm telling you, this is scary, people. This is scary. This is very scary. God will not accept my sacrifice. God will not answer my prayers. So I tell myself, I can't afford to walk in strife. I can't afford it. It's too expensive. It is too expensive. I can't. I am the loser at the end of the day. Come on. You give somebody rent-free space in your heart for years. Rent-free. They are not paying you council tax. They are not paying you rent. They occupy. They did this to me 2000, and then that's how their mother too said it in 1964. Rent-free. They are still living in your head, in your mind, in your heart. And then you are lifting holy hands and praying and offering, bring sacrifice of prayer. God is saying, no, I'm not accepting it. Leave it there. Go and reconcile. Go and settle it and come back. But that's just by the way. We're talking about the altar of thanksgiving. There is something there that I want us to understand. Now, it is serious, Dr. Uche, when it is now God who has an issue with you. You say, really? Does God have issues with people? Yes. God had issues with a king that he raised, called Saul. And when Saul started misbehaving and Saul wasn't obeying God anymore, God told him, have you forgotten where I took you from? I made you king. And you can't simply obey my instructions anymore. You become so big. You're now on the throne. You're reigning. You've forgotten? No problem. I'm going to replace you. I've got somebody else. And I'll replace you. I pray God will not replace you. I pray God will not reject your offering, your praises, your prayers, your thanksgiving. But the issue, I sense that God also may have with some of us, is one issue. Let us go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 12. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 12. What is this issue that God possibly could have with human beings? Some of it. Okay? Paul, speaking about the Spirit of God in 2 Timothy chapter 3, says, but know this, in the last days, listen, if you are still wondering, we are in the last days. Go and read what Jesus said. We are, whether you believe it or not, in fact, you don't need to believe it. We are in the last days. We are at the end of the age. So listen to what is happening in these days. And please come with me and tell me that some of these things are lies. Okay? Know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. Verse 2. For men will be lovers of themselves. Remember what we learned last week, the altar unto self. Bethel, house of God. You can start worshiping yourself and not the God of the house. Our bodies are the temple of God. We don't worship the temple, we worship the God of the temple. All right? So, lovers of themselves. There are so many movements out there today Some of them are good, don't get me wrong, but then who is on the altar of all these movements? Self. Self-love, self-care, everything should be balanced with God being the center. Anything that displaces God from the center becomes what we learned last week, a tower we are building to ourselves just to preserve yourself. That is not God's best for us people. Men will be lovers of themselves. Listen, lovers of money. Do you know what people are doing with money now? People can kill even their own family, sacrifice their own family for money. You know, I don't want to be sued by any station. But I'm not a broadcaster. I'm not a newscaster. I'm just telling you, I'm a Bible caster. Okay. Not Bible basher, Bible caster. Do people love money these days? Boasters. Proud. Blasphemers. Let me tell you, boasters and proud, they are two different things. You know, you're boasting, I will fly you to London, when you don't even know where the airport is. You're promising somebody. You're just boasting. You're saying things that are not true. Pride is when you are trying to make people believe you are what you are not. And let me tell us, pride and being humble, pride and being shy, they are two ends of a spectrum. One extreme is when you're proud. The other extreme is when you have a very low self-image of yourself. They are on the same line, but different spectrum. Proud is when you think of yourself more highly than you are. Low self-esteem, aka shy. Listen, the day I found out shyness is not a fruit of the Spirit, I repented. I'm not shy. In the name of Jesus. I am bold. The Bible says the righteous are bold as a lion. I can have reservations. I may want to relate. I may not want to. I have freedom of association. It's different from me now seeing a fellow human being and I'm scared of you. Or I'm envious of you. I covet what you have. I forget who I am. No. So the other extreme is when you have a very low self-esteem. You're thinking of yourself lesser than what God made you. They are both extremes. What's the balance? Please see yourself the way God sees you. I know who God says I am. What's that song? There's a line in that song. I know who God says I am. What he says I am. Where he says I'm at. I know who I am. I've got the spirit of power, of love, of sound mind. That is who I am. That's what God made me. Okay, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents. Thank you, Mommy Cici, for what you shared today. And please remind me, I need to send it to everybody on all the church platforms. Please watch out for it. Our meditations today on the Sunday school manual. When it came, I said, Lord, this is the Spirit of God, because that's exactly what God was speaking to me this morning. Proud, blasphemous, you know, the Sunday school meditation she sent, she actually broke all these things down, and I will send it to us. Please remind me before the end of the service, I must send it. Disobedient to parents. These are the issues God has against human beings. And look at this one, unthankful. Let's narrow it down there. Unthankful. Disobedient to parents. And listen, when we hear disobedient to parents, we think of just the younger children. No. No. As adults, you can still be disobedient to your own parents if they're still alive. Because when the Bible says honor your father and your mother, it didn't say whether you are, it didn't specify the age which you are at. You must always honor your father and your mother. Two things, so that it be well with you. Second thing, so that you may live long. And when you combine the two, you live a long, fulfilling, healthy, wellness life. I want that. So I will honor anyone who has parental authority over me. I will. I will. Okay? Disobedient to parents, unthankful. Unthankful. So I come to the altar. Samuel, Daddy Chisholm. And God has an issue with me that I'm unthankful. That I am unthankful. All I do is complain, is moan, is murmur like the children of Israel. Do you know that's what cost them from going into the promised land? They were murmuring. God sent fairy serpents, bang, beat them. They died and perished in the wilderness. Unthankful, let's zero in there. God has issues against me. I'm coming every day, and all I'm doing is probably even accusing God. Why have you not done this for me? I've been praying about this issue for the past 20 years. God, you've not answered. Do you know what you've done? You've built an altar, and you are worshiping that unanswered prayer. It's very subtle. Oh, are you saying that, you know, we can't rant to God, we can't tell God as it is? No, that's not what we're saying. Look at your heart. Underneath that rant is a spirit of ingratitude. Have you thanked God for what he has done? Have you thanked God that you are still breathing? Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. But every day you murmur, every day this problem is not solved yet. God, you've abandoned me. God, where's your face? God, you must be wicked. God, you've done it for so and so. God, you know, like I was talking to somebody, and you know, in all sincerity, please, I've got no apologies. See, the Fola you knew before the pandemic, I'm not the same Fola. I'm telling you about a new heart. And I'm not preaching. God has given me a new heart. And God is still transforming my heart. And the things I'm sharing with us are the dealings of God in my own life. Otherwise, I'll be a hypocrite. I know I'm not the same person. And I'm going to tell people the truth. In love, if it's going to hurt you, and you have issues, then you have destroyed your own altar. You know? I don't like what the pastor was saying that he was talking about me. Excuse me, if the Spirit of God wants to talk to us, who should he talk to? Who should he talk about? The orange seller in the city center, who's not here? I don't know what our problems are. We don't realize at times that it's pride that does not allow us to take correction. It's pride. Who does he think he is? The Holy Spirit is not a gossip. That one I know. But when the Holy Spirit is speaking, please listen. Just listen and take correction. Unthankful. Are you thankful? When last, and I'm serious with what I'm saying by the Spirit of God. When last is when you came to the place of prayer, you didn't even ask for anything, and all you did was, I just want to thank you, Lord, that I'm breathing. I just want to thank you that I'm alive. Even though you've not answered my prayers, I still thank you. Even though, like the book of Malachi says, there's no fruit in the vine. The cattle are not bringing forth, you know, they're not bearing. The fields are not yielding any fruit. Yet will I praise you. When was the last time? You're praying over that child. When was the last time you thanked God for that child? God, you've not changed, I've been praying this, that. When last did you thank God that you even have a child? And what God has given you, I'm referring to that thing. Some of us don't value what God has given us. When last did you thank God for your wife? When last did you thank God for your husband. When last? But all you do is complain. You know, I don't know why, but everywhere I've worked, in the last 19 years, I've always worked. No, I'm not going to say it. I don't want to offend people now. No. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for cautioning me. I'm not saying it. But you see, I've worked with people and all they do is complain about their spouse. They come into the office. Hey, that idiot in my house. That idiot. That. See what he did again. Da. And then you join that group and you're talking. You have friends that you keep and your spouse don't know who your friends are. And those friends, all you do is to talk about your spouses. Excuse me. Listen. Anybody who wants to wise, who wants to be wise, will work with wise men. And anyone who keeps company with fools will be destroyed. That's the Bible. Listen. Listen to this. Don't forget this. Tweet this. Right? Like it, share it, copy and paste it, free of charge. Stop hanging around people that are like you. Start hanging around people and learning from people who you want to be like. Do you want me to repeat it? Stop hanging around people who are like you if you desire change in your life. Start hanging around and spending time with people you desire to be like. Case in point, you want to be married, right? Stop going to single people and taking counseling from them. See, single people online now, they are relationship experts. Relationship, marriage expert. Somebody who's not married, who's never been married. Yeah, they've read the Bible. They've studied relationship. They've read books. They've even done academic presentations on it. Excuse me, please marry first. No, marry. You know, I was venting the other day, and I'm not saying this with every deference and respect. I'm not mentioning names, but those who are there know. I was just venting. Just venting somewhere. Venting. What is this world turning into? You want to marry them. You see all the tribe, all sorts of things we're bringing into. You want to marry you, all the guy you go and do stag do. Are you an animal? What is a stag? Is that not the name of an animal or something? It's a male deer. Are you a deer? Do stag. You just go. All your friends, they are sending you fun. They don't know where you are going. No, seriously. Let's be serious. And then, you know, on the other side, you're doing bridal shower. What shower? What are you? Doing the person shower? Shower of blessings. And then you surround yourself with people who are not married. Advising you about marriage? No. Let's be serious. Listen, if you are single and you want to marry and you want to do a stag deal, get all the married people. Let them sit in their middle and let them share their revelation with you. Experiential knowledge. So that you know the journey you are entering into. I'm tired. I am telling you, I am tired. I am, as a pastor, I'm saying this now, I'm speaking as a man. I am tired and tired and tired of all the nonsense going on in the name of marriage these days. And I'm talking of all the arrangements and this, that. You come out, you do legs like that, you jumping, dancing, choreography and all that. Excuse me. After you've married for 20 years, come and do choreography. Lord, thank you. All right, that was Fola. Okay. If you have issues with me, see me after, before you bring your thing to the offering that you don't like what I said, and we'll resolve it. Okay. That's just me. I'm just ranting. Yeah, I'm ranting. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Okay, I'm back. All right? So the issue now, and I'm rounding up with 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verse 1 to 16. It's the story of Manasseh. I run a commentary. It's in 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verse 1 to 16. Please, let's do things according to the word of God. If you want godly results, do it God's way. Don't follow the traditions. Please, don't. Because it doesn't help. That's the truth. It doesn't. Because at the end of the day, let me just tell us something. Let me tell us, and this is pain. It's pain. You see, the things we see that become fruit Why one seed? The seed don't look like the fruit. It will take years and then the fruit will start coming out. Please, let's do things the godly way if we want godly results. Please. And I'm appealing to those of us who are not yet married. Okay? I'm not talking about those of us who are married. It's those of us who are married. God will help us. I said, God will help us.
Amen.
I'm still there too. I'm learning every day to love my wife. She's learning to love me too. And, you know, it's not easy. Look, it's not easy being a man, a married man. It's not easy. I'll just tell you now. It's not easy. It's not easy. It's not easy. You're not married now. You can do what you like. Go anywhere you like. You know, you marry now and then somebody tells you you can't go out. What are we talking? You can ask Leke. No, just spend time with me today. No football. My wife has banned me now from playing football. She's banned me from, can you imagine? Banned me from playing football. I must look after my leg. No football. What kind of thing is that? What? It's for my safety.
It's for your good. Yes.
It's for my good. Okay. You know, as we are telling ourselves some of these truths, let's be serious. Now, where was I now? All right, I've got to round up now. Okay, Manasseh, he became king at the age of 12, and then he did something very bad. Children, are you learning something? Let all the children in the house from the age of 12 under, please tell me, are you learning something? I can hear the children, if you are below the age of 12, say yeah.
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 Well done, Cornelius. Cornelius was man of the match yesterday in the charity tournament. You are voted man of the match. Wow. Okay, so Manasseh, at the age of 12, he became a king. The Bible says he reigned for 55, is it 55 or 45 years? Let me just get it. Okay, I'm just trying to get my Manasseh. Naked, before I married, I wasn't using glasses. I'm not saying that it's marriage, but I didn't say so. But, yeah, we'll see. Please let me tell everything. No, but on a serious note, my wife noticed that I was doing like this. So no, let's go to the optician. So I went to the optician. If I wasn't married, I probably wouldn't go to the optician. But please celebrate my wife because she looks after me. She looks after me. No, on a serious note. Yeah. Like I said, during your wedding, listen, I don't stress my wife. I don't. I try not to. I don't. Yeah, I try. Yeah. Okay. So he reigned for 55 years. He did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. What he just basically did was all the altars that were built unto the Lord, he turned them into altars unto idols. And then problems started. When you look at verse 4, he built altars in the house of the Lord, which God has said, in Jerusalem shall my name be forever. He built the altars for all the host of heaven. Those were idols. In two courts in the house of God, he was building altars unto idols. He caused his sons to pass through the fire, verse 6. He practiced soothsaying. He practiced witchcraft. He consulted mediums, spiritists. He did evil. He was building altars. He turned the altars of God into the altars of idols. And then something happened. Let's see what happened and I'll close. You know, he led all the people astray. That's what he did. So God now came to him. In verse 10, the Bible records that the Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they would not listen. They wouldn't listen. So, what was the consequence? The Lord brought upon them the captains of the army of the king of Assyria, who took Manasseh with hooks, bound him with bronze fetters, carried him off to Babylon. When we don't obey God, when we turn the altars that meant unto the Lord, unto the idols, unto self, we go into captivity. We go into problems. This is no rocket science. You do it God's way, you get godly results. You go off course, you don't get godly results, and the enemy will attack. And one way we've learned today, through strife, it's through strife, you get into strife, you've opened up yourself for all manner of evil works. All right, so when he was in affliction, verse 12, he implored the Lord his God, and he humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers, and he prayed to him. And he received his entreaty. He prayed to God. He humbled himself. He realized his mistake and cried unto God in his affliction. And God heard his supplication, and God brought him back to Jerusalem, to his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. You see, I don't even like his name, Manasseh. Let me tell you what that name means. It means one who causes one to forget. Yeah? Remember this month, our theme is avoid distractions. Distractions will make you forget who you are. Distractions will make you forget your destination, your original destination. Don't be distracted. So, anyway, he repented, he comes back, and then he knew God, so he reconciled with God, and he began to build a wall, verse 14, outside the city of David, in the valley as far as the entrance of Fish Gates, Ophel. He raised it to a very great height, he put military captains, blah, blah, blah. He put away all the foreign gods. Verse 15, every idol, he put them away. And you know what? And all the altars he had built, he cast them out of the city. Verse 16 is where we're going. Verse 16. What did he do? After he repented and put away every other idol and destroyed all the other altars, the Bible said he repaired the altar of the Lord. And let us see what he offered on that altar. He sacrificed peace offerings. Do you know what it means to make peace with your wife, Robert Scofield? You know what that means? You make peace. You sacrifice peace offerings. Matthew chapter 5 verse 23, when you bring your gift to the altar, what should you do? And you remember, there's no peace between me and that sister. Leave the gift there. He repairs the altar. Peace offering. And what's the next thing? Let's look at it. Verse 16. And thank offerings on it. We are talking today about rebuilding my altar of thanksgiving. Peace. Thanksgiving. People, it's time for you and I to repent and rebuild our personal altars of thanksgiving. God has something called divine protocol. When you're approaching him, the Bible tells us, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him. Bless his holy name. But then Jesus now tells us something before we offer thanks. And we see it with Manasseh. Peace. Please stop allowing offenses to live rent-free and wrecking your mind because you refuse to let go. Make peace today and let's offer our thanks. If you have been unthankful, repent also and let's go into a realm of thanksgiving. Please can we bow our heads as we begin to pray? Peace offering, thank offering. I'm going to leave us Please, if you can give us some background music and let people just pray. Please, it's personal now. Pray. Can we have some music? I don't know. Did we arrange something? Just something playing. If you are online, you're watching, peace be unto you. Thank God. When last were you grateful? The person that you have issues with, have you ever thought about it that you might actually be the issue? Come on. It's not worth it, people. You can't carry somebody in your heart and expect Jesus to be in your heart at the same time. Let go. And let's begin to offer thanks. And I'm saying this by the Spirit of God also, and I'm saying this as a human being. If what I've said today has offended you, please, I do not mean to offend you. I am a human being. Just take what God is saying and forget about me. But you, don't lose your peace and go into thanksgiving. God bless you. Let's just talk to the Lord for a minute.